The theme of our message and for our meditation today is the refining fire of God. It is something not easy to understand. For many times we ask, how is it godly suffer and ungodly prosper? Does it happen? Answer is absolutely. Oh, you read the papers. These worldly people who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ seems to be going places, prospering and succeeding in many things. And here I am. I try my best to serve the Lord and I am going through suffering. What is the meaning of this? Has God a purpose for us? That is today's message to all of us here. For I dare say all of us have problems. All of us. There are times when we all go through depression, suffering, sickness, loss of job, loss of opportunity, disappointment. In the case of Job, and whose life we're going to study in a moment, he was a righteous, godly man, the most wonderful godly man, and he suffered like no one else ever suffered. No one else ever like him. Please turn to the book of Job, and we are going to be blessed by the study of this godly man who lived probably around the time of Abraham, or maybe even earlier, around that time when men used to live 170, 200 years old, you know. So that makes the context. Now, Job chapter 1. There was a man in the land of Uz, his name was Job. He was perfect, upright, feared God, eschewed evil. Just four things spoken of him. Can it be spoken of you? Dear friends, ask yourself, will people who think of my name and say, oh, that person, he is perfect, upright, fears God, and shuns evil. Eschew is an old English word meaning to say shun. Anything that is bad, he doesn't think or do such things and runs away from it. Such a man is Job. And then he came into the greatest suffering that you can ever think of. All right, we are going to look into why he suffered when he was so good and God was blessing. One day came Satan to complain and to charge Job as one who is playing a kind of political game. You good to me, I'm good to you. If God blesses me with so much, I will be good to God. I will follow his laws and so on and so forth. Verse 9, all right, here is a charge. Satan says to God, oh God, you have a good man called Job, but does he do it for nothing? Verse 10 says, have you not built a hedge around him, protect all his business, his house, all that he has, every place he's blessed because you are so good to him, therefore he's so good to you? Is that why you serve the Lord, dear friends? Why do you serve the Lord? Oh, my friends, recognize this, that we serve the Lord simply because he is God. We are his creatures. He made us, not we ourselves. Even as a father, he brought us into this world with life. And who among us here will not love and honor the Father? So we worship God because he is our Heavenly Father for that reason. And that the worship, the honor is due to him. We love him because he first loved us. And for no other reason, whether he prospers us with more or less success, high or low, is beside the point. So Satan charges him. And God says, well, prove him. Put him to the test. And Satan did that. In one day, just one day, seven sons, three daughters were killed. All his livestock and possessions were finished, either by fire or by robbery, everything gone. End of the day, he is left with nothing. Suppose it happens to you. Most of us will find it very hard to take. I had a friend when we were in London. He was a pastor. And he says, my son, 3 years old, was in the kitchen eating a piece of chicken. And he went down the wrong way. On the spot, he died. How do you reconcile? I'm serving God, doing my best to save souls, and then my son dies out of a freak accident. What can happen to me? Subsequently, he wrote me a letter. He says, I realize even children are loaned to you. My son was loaned to me from God. And I came to the world without a son. And if it suits the will of God, if it pleases the giver to take back what he loaned me, what do I have to complain? I learned a lesson. Don't you? Do you see things different? All the things we have to enjoy, the goodness, are given freely from God. We do not deserve these things. And if God should take any of these away, be thankful, submit to God. And this is exactly what Job did. So that the description given to him by God was substantiated. God says, this man is perfect. Upright, upright meaning blameless. You cannot find a fault in him. And he fears God and he shuns evil. Does it prove? Yes. After one day of disaster upon disaster, what did he do? Look at verse 21. Look at verse 21. Job says, naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return the same way. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Can you say that? My friends, you do not know when some unhappy thing will happen to you. Can you turn to this verse and say, the Lord gave, the Lord has taken. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Recognizing that our God does nothing wrong. He is a perfect God. And even in the taking away of a loved one, he shows his hand of love to us. When we can come to this position, many difficulties are solved immediately. God never does anything wrong to me. He is so good to me. Naked came I, naked I return. And meantime, he's prospered me with so much, so much. And if he takes something away, I say, the Lord is good. So this is how Job responded. Can you? Job is now just beginning to go into the furnace of refining. His experience is incomparable. None of us have anything like it. But then, Job went through it. Now this is not the end. More to come. Look at chapter 2. Chapter 2, Satan comes for more. He says, God, let me test Job again. Put him through more tests. So far, he's only lost things that are outside of himself. Now, let's try him in his body. Let us look at verse 4 of chapter 2. Satan says to the Lord, Lord, skin for skin, all that the man hath will he give for his life. His body, his health is number one. You touch his body, touch his health, then you see whether he is going to still serve you and love you and be loyal to you. That is the challenge. You know, God knew Job. God knows all about Job. God knew that Job will stand the test. And I wish all of us here can be in the place of Job. That God can say that you are a perfect man. Upright. Blameless in your life. Can it be said? I don't know, but God knows. As far as Job is concerned, God knew him through and through, even as he knows you and me through and through. He knows everything about us, our thinking, our motives, our speaking, our desiring, and our doing, everything. Can it be said of you, you are perfect, blameless, upright, and fear God, shunning the evil? So God put Satan, gave him to go and try Job once more. Touch his body, touch his health, and see how he will react, which he did. Verse 7, please see. Job 2:7. So Satan went from the presence of the Lord and smote or struck Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And there is Job, health no more. No more can he go around as his normal person, but now he is afflicted with boils, sores. You know, if you get one sore on your head, you're finished. You cannot tahan, you know, just too bad. Now here is sores from head to foot. And what can he do? It says, he sat on an ash heap and with a broken piece of pottery began to scratch himself. It is a very itchy condition. Ever suffered from itch? I tell you, one of the most horrible things is to have itch. I received a letter from a friend called Peter Clemens from a place called Kutamandra. In his sick condition, he is afflicted with an itch of the skin that requires his wife to scratch him at night because it's on the back. He can't reach it. So she spends half the night scratching him until she's so tired, she's fatigued. Here is Job, itching from top of head to the bottom of the soul. And what can he do? Now, does he rebel against God in this furnace of affliction and trial? Verse 10. Alright, let's see here. To his wife, the wife who says, "You, Job, stupid fellow, now is the time to curse God. If you keep on serving God and this is what happens to you, what is the use? What is the use?" Have you ever asked yourself this? I serve the Lord. I come early to church. I pay my tithe. I give my goods to feed the poor. I do so many good things. I even go witnessing. And today I'm hit with this sickness. How come? Here is Job. Job says to his wife, "Wife, you say now I should curse God. But listen. Verse 10, what shall I," I'm going to change to the first person "I, shall I receive good from the hand of God, and shall I not receive also evil? For this sore boils is from God. God will not allow me to have sore boils if he did not will it. Did God allow it to happen?" Answer is yes. Even your sickness and your sorrow and your problem, whatever it is, did God allow it to happen? Answer is yes. Because he knows you and he loves you, but he has a purpose for you. Read on. Job says, "Shall I receive good and not receive evil?" In all this, did not Job sin with his lips? Praise God, what a man. For God knew him that he had the resilience even to go through. Then came three friends. You got three friends? Do you have three friends? Job had three friends. And they came, three of them, to sympathize. But they sat down and began to criticize, attacking him from left, right and center. They had one preconceived idea. If you suffer, it must be for your sins. You have unconfessed sins. You are a hypocrite. Why should you be in this state? There must be something wrong with this chap called Job. So, Job sits there, and what can he do? Who was his defender? God was his defender. He could not defend himself. He tried to. He reasoned and argued with them, but the Lord was his defender. God stood by him. Now I want to lead you to chapter 23, which is our text for today. The refining fire of God. And while we go through that refining, it is a very difficult time, which is so long, you wish it could be shortened, isn't that so? Those of us who are on sick beds, we say, Lord, how long? How long? Every day is like a year, you know, suffering. How long? Will it ever stop? When will that suffering stop? Answer, the one who gave you the suffering is in full control. I want to stress this to all of you. If God allows that suffering to come to you, He is in full control. He will take it away when He has finished with you. For there is a purpose in every suffering. For Job, it was a time of refining. For you and me, it is also a time of refining. There are things that God wants to take away from us. And you will not lose anything through the refining except the impurities in you. I'm going to repeat this so that you will never forget. If God allows a time of fiery trial, refining fire to come on you, it will seem very long. True? Yes. But please remember, He who sent that refining fire on you is in full control. He is the one who watches over you, and He will not allow that refining fire to come on you for 1 minute longer than He wills it to be. He knows exactly the time to take away that suffering. In the case of Job, as in the case of you and me, times will come. Refining fire from God will come. Sooner or later, long or short, it will come. Why? Because we are His children. And what father is there who will not send chastening, even the refining fire of chastening, to every son He loves? Now this is in Hebrews chapter 12. You read it there, verses 6 and 7. God loves you, and He sends that refining fire for your betterment, for your perfecting. Oh, to be like Him. Yeah. Oh, to be like the Savior. How can you become more like the Master? Through the fires of refining, controlled by the refiner. The refiner is our God Himself. He is the one who sent the fire. He is the one who puts you through the fire. He is in control. And Job went through that fire, came forth like gold. Read now, chapter 23 of Job. Then Job said to the Lord, even so, today is my complaint bitter than my, more bitter, my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Job says, you hear me groaning. You think I'm really groaning all that I should groan? Not at all. The stroke that God has put on me, if I were to groan proportionate to that stroke, I'd be groaning 10 times more maybe. But listen, I'm groaning. Really, the suffering is much, much more than my groaning. Oh, who can imagine that kind of suffering of boils from top to bottom? Itching, painful, irritating, restless, the whole day scratching. Ever tried that? Verse 3, oh, that I knew where I can find God, and I can come to Him and face to face talk to Him and tell Him my problem. But I can't find Him. Where can I find God? God is invisible. So it says here,
verse 8, all right, verse 8. Behold, I want to find God. I go forward, he's not there. I go back, he's not there. I go to the left, verse 9, he's not there. I cannot behold him. He hides himself. Nowhere can I find him. Oh, what a God. Are you bothered that you cannot see God? Oh, my friends, no man hath seen God, for God is a consuming fire. But we can see him with our mind's eye. In the face of Jesus, who loved you and gave himself for you, we see God. He who has seen Jesus has seen the Father. So how can you see God? Turn to the Gospels. Turn to the passages. Isaiah 53. John 10. Read of the loving shepherd. He is God. When you read about his going to the cross to die for you, he is God. God goes to the cross to die for you. You find him there. Now, the conclusion of Job's message to you today is, verse 10, please follow. This is the climax of the message. But the God who I cannot find, who I cannot see, he knows the way that I take. Wonderful. Wonderful statement. You can say the same if you are in trouble and God is watching over you. Can you? Look at verse 10. He knows the way that I take. And when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Wonderful. He said, but how long must I suffer this kind of testing in the refining fire of God? Let me tell you how long. The master refiner is at the furnace watching. He controls the fire. And what is he looking at? At the gold that he is refining. There is the pan of gold. And it came in with impurities. And he's watching. As that gold is burned in the fire, impurities are burned away. One after another, bit by bit, the impatience in you, the intolerance, the pride, the bad temper, one by one will be burned away. That love of coming late to church must be burned away. The pride in us, the selfishness in us, the love to quarrel with other people, all these impurities. And the refiner, the master refiner is watching, and the fire is burning, and the gold is getting purer and purer. That's you. That's me. And the master refiner wants us to be pure. When will it be pure? When all the dirt, the dross, the impurities have all been burned away. Your sinfulness, your lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, love of the world, everyone must be burned away. Then, pure gold. When do you know it's pure gold? When the master refiner looks, he will see his image reflected in the gold when there is no dirt on it. That is the image of Christ in you. God wants to refine us and to stamp his image on you and on me. And when we have reached that stage, that refining stops. Oh, it's not too long. It's just right. May God speak to us today. What is our impurity? Say, well, I'm pure. I say, when you say you are pure, you are very impure. Every child of God knows there is impurity in him somewhere. And we all need to be burned in God's refining fire. Then he will make us like him, his image shining through the gold.